church for the singing. It was good this morning. If you have your Bibles, like you turn to Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16, a well-familiar passage of Scripture. I want to bring a few things out this morning that has caught my eye and has brought attention to my heart. And so as we stand to our feet this morning, we'll begin reading in verse 19. We'll read down to verse 31. By the way, this is a true story. Jesus has given the story. Jesus has given details of it. And so we find that it's not a parable, but a true actual story about true actual subjects with true actual places. We see in verse 19 of chapter 16 of Luke, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away, or carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest he also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, I come to the name of Jesus this morning, and while this passage is sobering, while this passage is serious, yet it's real. Father, today the Bible teaches that hell is enlarging itself. And we know, Father, that as everyone that must die or is appointed to man wants to die, Father, we find ourselves in eternity of one side or another. As it was for the beggar, he went to heaven, and for the rich man, Lord, he went to hell. Father, we pray this morning that we would be more of a concentration of the Scripture today than ever before. God would search our hearts and find whether we're in the faith or not. God, this would not be a message this morning that would just be overlooked. Father, it would be a message today from heaven that would hit the hearts of every man and every woman and child. I pray, God, now you have your way and your will in the hearts of everyone. God, those that are saved this morning, God, may it draw us unto the lost. God, for us today, dear God, that know that we're going to heaven when we die, Father, may it be a burden in our heart to see others go as well. God, I pray now, Lord, that we'll just do as you will. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I noticed that this true story that Jesus is given about a beggar and about a rich man. As I look at this story, I notice that once the time has come and each have died, that they're in places where they're going to be in places for all of eternity. Very verse 26 tells us you're not going to be able to go from one side or to the other. You're not going to be able to move from here to there. And so we find and see in the Scripture a finality. We find that where they have landed, where they have ended up, where they have become to after death, is where they are and where they will stay. And this is the permanency of the eternity of their lives. I noticed three things this morning about this rich man. I noticed, number one, that about this rich man is that he wasn't called the beggar. I noticed that in verse 20, it says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't the rich man, and the rich man wasn't Lazarus. And so there's no way at all in the Scripture that we can consider that the rich man was a beggar. But I want to bring to our minds and hearts this morning concerning the Scripture, and I want to preach on a beggar. But it's not Lazarus. It's a beggar that's in hell, and he was the rich man. There's not one time ever, I bet, in his whole entire life living on this side, he begged for anything. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, in verse 19, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Every day there was no begging. He had plenty. He had more than he ever needed. He had more than he ever deserved. And then we also recognize in verse 25, it says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, receivest thy good things. And so we recognize the Scripture as saying that the rich man never begged one day in his entire life on this side. I mean, he had it made from the get-go. I mean, all things was provided and all things was available to him. And so there was no begging of any type, of any kind, because that's just not the way that he lived. He lived sumptuously every day. But I'm going to say, number one this morning, I noticed that this rich man became a beggar in hell. Because I noticed in verse 22 through 24 that he was begging for water. Begging for water. Now this was new for this rich man. This was out of the ordinary. I mean, while on earth and while living here amongst his peers and living amongst the other men and women of his day, he wasn't at all in the mode of begging. But soon as he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell and he became a beggar for all of the rest of eternity. Something new. Something unusual for him. Something that he didn't know anything about. But he found out quickly there in verse 24. The Bible says that, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, isn't that something this morning? He's not asking for a 55-gallon jug of water. He's not asking for somebody to bring him a cup of water. He's not asking anybody to bring him a drink of water. He don't want but just a drop of water. Now, he's not wanting water this morning in order to quench his thirst. He's not wanting water today to be able to swish in his mouth and to kind of get the dryness out of his mouth. But he's wanting just one drop. He just wants just a little bit. He wants just a tip of his finger in water. And the Bible says, for one reason, then cool my tongue. Interesting. Interesting this morning, the very thing that he rejected is what he's begging for. He didn't realize and know that when he died and went to hell, that the one of the three things I notice in the Scripture that he's begging for would be water. And it's strange that he's begging for water for the tongue. For just maybe, it was with his tongue that he said no to the living. Does that make sense this morning? That very tongue, that very one, as he heard from time to time throughout the gospel, throughout the time, throughout being there with that Christian, because a Christian with Abraham's bosom. So the Christian that was there eating at the crumbs of his table, as a Christian would do and a Christian would always do, would give some sort of attendance to Jesus, some sort of a witness about Christ, and some sort of the Spirit of God would bring forth upon this rich man. And as this rich man came in contact with this beggar would bring forth, hey, maybe a gospel call, and this one would say, no. No. For the only reason why he's in hell is because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. He's not in hell because he's rich. He's not in hell because he's done something wrong. He's not in hell because he didn't go to church. He's not in hell because he did some evil thing. The only reason why people or anybody's in hell this morning is because they believe not. They believe not the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't go to hell because of things you do. You go to hell for what you didn't do, and that is to receive Jesus Christ and have the power to become the child of God. So this man's in hell for one reason, not because he's rich or any other reason, because of the rejection. What did he reject with? Oh, ultimately he rejected with his heart. But what did he speak with? His tongue. And that very tongue that rejected Christ is the very tongue that needs just a tip of the finger of Lazarus to put on his tongue, because it was his tongue that said no to the living water. To the living water. I just wonder how many people this morning are in hell today because they have said no to Jesus. They said no to the gospel. And today they're just wanting just a little bit of water. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. Let's talk about the living water for a moment to find out what he really did reject. We understand and know that Jesus this morning is that living water. John chapter 1, or John chapter 4 and verse 1. Well, verse 10 actually, let's begin there. We know that Jesus came. He said he needs to go through Samaria. He finds a woman at the well in Samaria. He says to her, "Give me to drink." The conversation began in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." So there's such a thing as not just water, but living water. Living water. Water that lives and lives and lives. And Jesus said, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you living water. So in other words, this living water must be asked for. And this man in hell didn't ask for the living water, but he's begging for the real water. So just a tip of the finger dipped in the water on his tongue. Tell you about this living water. Notice this, you ask for the living water, but verse 14 tells us, that, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And the water shall I give him that shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There you go. That living water is a water, number one, that brings satisfaction. You see, this rich man never knew satisfaction. He had everything given to him. He had all things at his hands. He had all servants to be. He had all products and processes given to him. He fared sumptuously every day. Oh, but for the time now when Jesus said, "Listen, I'm going to give you a living water that will satisfy," he said, "No." with his tongue. These satisfy me. Riches, things, people. That's what I want. Don't want you. Don't want the living water that satisfies me within. I'm satisfied without. Second thing I notice about this living water, it supplies. It says in verse 14, says the Bible says that, but the water I shall give him in him a well of water. A well of water. In other words, this water that Jesus is trying to give is saying that I'm going to satisfy you, but I'm going to satisfy you from within, but I'm going to supply you every day. Every day of your life, I will supply you. You'll have no need of getting anything else. I am sufficient. I am Jesus, and I will supply. I will supply your every need. I will supply your every day. I will supply your every want. I will supply you as you go. I am the supplier. I am the satisfier. I am the one. And the rich man said no. Water he's rejecting. Thirdly, I notice that the living water springs up. Verse 14 says, into everlasting life. That was Abraham's bosom. That's heaven today. How do we get to the heaven, the everlasting life? Oh, we got to come through the living water. But how do you get the living water that satisfies and supplies? Oh, you get it by asking. And the rich man didn't ask. It's amazing to me that the very thing that he rejected is the very thing he's begging for in hell. I notice in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Now, if that rich man would have said just what this woman would have said, he'd be in Abraham's bosom today. Give me this water. Give me this water. Today she's in heaven. Today she has no need of water because the Christ, who is the water of life, is there. You see, when you receive the living water and He satisfies you and He supplies you and you have everlasting life that's springing up within you, water no longer is a begging point in your life. Throughout this day in which we live, we may need a drop of water to satisfy our earthly need or maybe our physical parchment. But friend, we find that when eternal life is coming about or heaven or hell, the living water is what the water is. It just brings us to a place of everlasting. Now turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. And friend, we'll show you this morning the other side of where the rich man is. Revelation chapter 7. And there in verse 17. Now stick with me with a thought here this morning that this man in hell was begging for water. And what was hot, what was burning, what was tormented was his tongue. Why? Because that's what he rejected Christ meant. But this woman, she said, give me this water. And Revelation 7 verse 17 says, the Lamb was which in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Just water everywhere. Water, water, water. He's trying to find one dip of a tip of a finger in hell. Those in heaven just got water running everywhere. Oh, can I say Revelation 22 in verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on the other side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. Wow, is that something? The throne of God, there's water. The very thing the rich man is wanting, just a drop of, just a tip of a finger of Lazarus to cool off his tongue in heaven, it just flows from the throne room of God. You better not on this side say no to the living water Because one day you're going to be in hell and you're going to be begging for just a tip of a finger to cool off your tongue. Amen. Revelation 21 verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." Are you thirsty this morning? If you're in this auditorium and you're in this church this morning and you have never asked for the living water, you have never looked to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I know that you're the living water. You're the water of life. I know that. And I am thirsting for you. I ask you to help me this morning to repent of my sin and to receive you as Lord and Savior and to drink of that water of life that will bring me unto everlasting life so that when I die, I won't be like the rich man and beg just one drop of water to cool my tongue that said no." Wow. I pray there's nobody here this morning who's never thirsted for the water of life. Can I say here, secondly, this morning, not only that with their tongue they said no to the water of life, but with their tongue he said no to the water of his word. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, the Bible says, Jesus speaking again, he says, "In the last day," John chapter 7, verse 37, he says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Not only did he, with his tongue, say no to the water of life, which is Christ, the living water, but he said no to the water of his word. The Bible says there in verse 38, "As the Scripture hath said." They had the Old Testament. They heard the Scripture. He even references Moses and the prophets in that chapter 16. And when he said no, didn't he not only say no to Christ, the living water, but he said no to the Word of God, the water of the Word. No. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, I'll read that to you this morning. Talks about the cleansing of the Word. Talks about how you and I, who are the child of God, the bride of Christ, he says there in verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." You see, he didn't want the water when he was alive. He didn't want the living water. He didn't want the written water. He didn't want the water at all, according to the Scripture here, that will make him clean, that will make him set apart for God. He didn't want none of that water. Oh, isn't it kind of odd tonight, though, or today, that for eternity now, he'll be begging for water. He'll be begging for water because the tongue is on fire. So don't you think this morning that when you say no to Jesus and you say no to his word and you say no to his forgiveness and his power of cleansing to you, that friend, you're going to have another chance tomorrow? Because if you die in that condition, you'll die with a tongue on fire, begging for water to cool it off. That's sobering. Oh, as I see back into our text, I notice not only in hell is the rich man begging for water, but in hell the rich man is begging for a witness. He's begging for a witness. We see that in verse 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them," where testify means witness, "unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Very interesting that the very witnesses that he resisted is the very witnesses he wants to take home. No doubt in my mind this morning that somewhere in his lifetime, that somebody told him about the living water. Somebody told him about the Word of God, Moses and the prophets. Somebody told him about having forgiveness in God, which is Christ. And friend, because of that witness, because of that testifying, because of someone talking to him and telling him and letting him know about the things of God and the condition of his soul and what he needs to do in order to go to heaven when he dies rather than to go to hell when he dies, he refused and resisted that witness, and yet today he's begging for a witness. Isn't that strange as well? The very thing he refused was water, and today he's trying to get water. The very thing he resisted was the witness, and that's the very thing in which he's begging for. He wants to send a witness of God's man. Look in verse 27. He said, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him." Him. He said, send God's man. Send God's man, send God's preacher, send God's witness, send God's servant, and send him to my father's house. Tell my five brethren and take it to my home where I came out of. Hey, send the preacher. Oh, he didn't have anything to do with the preacher before. He had nothing to do with the prophet before. He didn't have anything to do with the servant before. He didn't have anything to do with anybody who knew God before. Oh, but while in hell, he's begging for a witness of God's man and God's servant to come by his house. Isn't that something? Oh, can I say, secondly, he's asked and begging not only to a witness for God's man, but send a witness of God's word. In verse 28, he says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they also may come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets." He said, in other words, what he's saying to you and I this morning is, tell my brethren, hell is real. Come into this place of torment. What will you go witness to him about? You tell him that hell is hot. You tell them that hell is forever. You tell them that hell is tormenting. You tell them that hell has every emotion and every feeling in it. You tell him that in hell I can see, for he saw Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Hell he can feel, because the Bible said he's in torment. In hell he can think, because he's wanting a witness to go to his father's house. In hell he has a memory of what took place in the past. I'm tell you something this morning. The grave is not hell. And if you think it is this morning, you're going to be well aware that when you go to the grave, it won't be hell. Many people think when you go to hell, it's done, over, through. It's quit. It's over. Friend, when this man and this man died, both of them, immediately one went to heaven and immediately one went to hell. And that one that was in hell, he's witnessing and saying, listen, let me tell you that God's word is real. It's real. God preached on hell. Jesus preached on hell more than he did on heaven because it's real. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels because it's real. Hell is hot this morning. We find that to be so not in this passage but in other passages. It's suffering. It's painful. It's not consuming. And yet it's burning. Friend, it's something this morning of a forever. It's an eternity. It's a permanence. You're not getting out. Hey, the only place there's an exit of hell is in the word that you read this morning, Brother Chris. It's strange that you read that passage this morning, not knowing that I'm going to preach this morning. But the only exit of hell, now get with me, because you don't go out of here and say that you can get out of hell. The only exit of hell is when hell and death is cast into the lake of fire. So if you think the grave is hell, well, you're going to the lake of fire anyhow. You might as well believe the truth now and not have to go through that trouble. So we find in the Scripture that what this rich man is begging for is a witness. A witness of a man or a servant. Witness of a word of what Moses and the prophets have been teaching and been preaching and been telling. It's right. oh, don't think it's not right. And he's asking for a witness. He's begging for it. But you know, on this side here, I mean, he didn't really care about what Moses and the prophets were saying. I mean, while he lived here, he lived sumptuously every day. I mean, he had it good. He was comforted in all the way. I mean, all things are well for this rich man. He wasn't concerned about Moses and the prophets and the Word of God and all that it says. Oh, all of a sudden in hell, he becomes a Bible thumper. He becomes one that says, oh, wait a minute. Go to my father's house and tell them what Moses and the prophet is saying. Please. Thirdly, can I say here, send a witness of God's Son. He says in verse 30 says, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Who is he speaking of? Jesus. The man in hell, speaking of Jesus. He finally believes. He finally has put his faith in that Jesus. But it's too late. There's no grace in hell. Well, there's no grace, there's no salvation. There's no mercy in hell. Oh, we find that this man in hell is a beggar. He's begging for a witness. He's begging for a witness to go to his five brethren, to his father's house, and tell them that Jesus did live. For he came from the dead. He did die, for he had to die in order to resurrect. He did resurrect. He did ascend. And he does save. And that's what the rich man's begging. That somebody with God's word would go to his family and to his five brethren and tell them that Jesus did die and resurrect. And he did ascend into heaven, and he is the one who saves. He's the Savior of the world, and persuade them. That's what he's begging for. Now, can you imagine in hell being in torments? If you notice, it says plural, it says torments on there, meaning there's a torment on the inside and a torment on the outside. Torments, not just torment. And we find that this man, from the day that he went into eternity, which we don't know the very date of it, but we do know that to this date, 2016, he's still begging. And we know that a billion years from now, he'll still be begging. He's just begging so far right now for two things, for some water and for a witness. He had both of those before he went. He rejected one. He resisted the other. And now today he's in hell. Don't make the same mistake. You just have to be foolish this morning. You have to be absolutely, voluntarily wanting to go to hell, to leave out of this room and go to hell when you die. You have every opportunity. You have heard what the man said in hell. What other witness do you need this morning? From time to time, we don't understand the foolishness of people. The heart is so wicked. Sin is so wonderful. That in their lives they have demonstrated that their way has not worked. It has brought shame and hurt and horror. And yet because of the rebellious and the stubbornness within their heart and their mind, they won't turn from their sin and trust Jesus. And they're going to end up in the same begging position. One day, wanting water, and wanting a witness. Because just about everybody that dies has some family. And once they get to hell, they're asking and begging for a witness to go back and tell that family. Tell that family, don't come here. It's real. It's hot. It's forever. Don't come here, and it hurts. Oh my. Please, dear sinner friend. Please, dear sinner friend, please consider this morning the lovely Jesus. Oh, can I say this witness has been resisted. But he didn't want anything to do with God's man and God's word and God's son while he lived here. But today he's begging for it. What a change. What a shame. You see, this rich man, he didn't care about eternity while he lived on this side. Eternity wasn't important to him. Oh, but now, eternity is most important. And that's how most people live today. They're not looking life after death. They're looking for life before death. And then when death appears, they enter to life after death. And now in hell, you're going to be real concerned about life after death. And that's what happened to this man. We see that in verse 19, in verse 20. Can I say here, thirdly, and we'll close. In hell, now was this beggar, or this man was begging for water and begging for a witness. But in hell, there, this man was begging for a wish. He said in verse 30 and verse 31, he said, especially in verse 30, he says, they will repent. What makes him so sure? What makes him so sure that they will repent? Did you not notice that? Do you not notice the scripture when this man has a lots of confidence? He's got, he's 100% sure with great assurance that his five brethren, they will repent. Do you not see that in that scripture there? He's not saying they might repent. He's not saying they should repent. He's not saying that they could repent. They says he will repent. Where is that coming from? Well, when you're in hell, repentance is real. Now, right now, on this side, repentance is just a word. But when in hell, it's a confidence. Because he's saying, listen, if you could see it from my view, if you can understand it from my position, you will repent. Because this man has repented a billion, jillion, gazillion times in hell, but it does no avail. There's no grace there. There's no water. There's no witness. This man has a wish. He's begging. He's begging. For this wish. They will repent. They will repent. They will repent. They will repent. Can you imagine living in torment yourself and having this wish over and over and over saying, they will repent. Then verse 31 says, and he said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. You see, this man wasn't persuaded to repent on this side. But he is persuaded that they will repent. He's wishing they would. Boy, he's begging for a wish. That wish is they will repent. But in his begging, but they're not repenting. They're not repenting. Can you imagine this morning for just a second that not only did you not repent while you were here, and then you died and lift up your eyes and in hell being in torments. But while you're in hell, you've got a wish as well. I wish my daughter would get saved. I wish my children would get saved. I wish that my mom and daddy, my brothers and sisters, I wish my friend, I wish my husband, I wish my wife. I wish. And a billion years go by and you're still wishing. You're wishing. Wishing. Next thing you know, here they come. They're with you. And they're wishing. And they're asking you to wish. Everybody's wishing all the time. I wish they'd be persuaded. I wish they believe. That word persuaded means to believe. I wish they would believe. See, repent and believe. Repent and believe. That's what we teach here. That's what we preach here. That's how everybody's ever gotten saved all over the world, all over the decades and centuries, is repent and believe. Repent and believe. Jesus said it, Mark 1:15, repent and believe. For that's how you get to heaven this morning.
But if you know that the Scripture's saying that this morning, and with your tongue you reject it, there's coming a day while you're in hell that you're going to wish that somebody would repent. That's tormenting within itself. To see your, not see your children come to hell with you, see your grandchildren come to hell with you, see your great-grandchildren come to hell with you, see your great-great-great-grandchildren come to hell. And I wonder when they get to hell, I wonder what they'll be saying to you. Maybe, how come you didn't repent? You wish that we would repent. Why didn't you repent? Maybe because why you didn't repent is the reason why we didn't repent. Maybe it's because all those 30, 40 years, Mama and Daddy, and you didn't have one repentant day. You had not one water day. You had not one word day. Not one day did you witness to us. Not one day did you read the Bible to us. Not one day you took us to church. Not one day you told us about Jesus. Not one day you lived for Christ. Not one day you revealed God in your life. And one day I died without God and you didn't tell me. If he would have told his brethren before he died, he wouldn't have to have a witness to go tell his brother now. If he would have repented of his sin and began to persuade his brothers to believe in Christ, he wouldn't have to have a wish. Oh, can you remember, can you just think of the misery of hell? Torments inside, torments outside. Oh, I can just see and hear of hell. The Bible says there'll be a gnashing of teeth, there'll be a darkness and a blackness, and there'll be a falling at all times, and there'll be a crying and a weeping and a smoke and hell of flames and of no doubt of just crying and hurting and pain and yelling and screaming, and oh, it's going to be a horrible place with a horrible time, and pray that God would save every soul that's under the hearing of this message this morning. And I could just hear them saying, hell, repent, repent, repent. The only hope for his brothers not to come to hell is to repent. Bible said in Luke 13:3, don't turn there. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent. Acts 17:30, the Bible said, God said, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 20, verse 21 says, Paul said, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, before he didn't care. He didn't care what they said. They didn't care what he wanted. Water wasn't his thing. Witness wasn't his thing. And wishing repentance wasn't his thing. Unless you change this morning, you'll be right alongside with this rich man. Begging for water and a witness and a word of God. Please this morning be persuaded. Please turn and change your mind and your heart. Believe that Jesus paid for your sins and He's the payment for your sin. Please put your faith in Him. Please be persuaded. Please receive Him as Lord and Savior. Please take the gift of God this morning of eternal life and not die and lift up your eyes in hell being in torments. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. A beggar is in hell. And I believe this morning that anybody and everybody that dies and goes to the awful place of hell becomes a beggar. And they beg for all of eternity. Beg for water. Beg for witness. Beg for a wish that they'll repent and they'll persuade. Well, George, you lead us in a course, and you need to get saved this morning. You come get saved. It's no joke this morning. This is for real. This is for real. Would you come? Would you come? Christians are praying. Sinners, examining your heart, looking down deep into your soul. This ain't a game. This is a game changer. If you die without Christ, you're going to hell. You may not be much of a beggar today, but you'll be a great beggar there. Would you come? It's not time this morning to think of the ball game and think of the lunch and think of the troubles of life. It's time to think about the soul. The battle is raging. The devil will take you with him when he's not only cast into the lake of fire, but all of hell and the death is cast as well.